Welcome to Triune Healing Ministries. This is Pastor Trudy Daly. Thank you for listening to our online sermons. God bless you and touch your life today. Studies the brain. I'm not sure what exact title is. But she is the one, and I had written actually a paper years ago that stated that 75 to 90% or more of sickness is related to thought. We find that hard to believe. But some of the experiences I've had praying for people have convinced me all the more that that is true. The self-talk that people have, the things that they're constantly saying to themselves that work against them instead of for them. And the things that are interesting is that we store things in our body. We store information in our cells. And I came to recognize this when praying over a woman, and it seemed to be at a certain time every year she would get sick. And she had come to me for prayer, and I finally said to her, "What happened on this day or during this time?" And then she said, "Oh, this is when I went through a terrible time in my life. I went through a very unhappy time, and actually I got divorced during this time." And interestingly enough, her body remembered that. And every year at that time, the emotions would get stirred up as if the event was still happening exactly then. So that began to give me an insight as to how much our thought life does affect us. So some of this I will read to you, and I hope you'll forgive me for that. But I want to be precise in what's being said. It says, "Our thoughts, even our imaginations, get under the skin of our DNA and can turn certain genes on and certain genes off, changing the structure of the neurons in the brain. So we think and imagine, we change the structure and function of our brains." So our thoughts literally affect our genes. Our brain is changed moment by moment as we are thinking. By our thinking and choosing, we are redesigning the landscape of our brain. We cannot control the events and circumstances of life, but we can control our reactions. In fact, we can control our reactions to anything. And in doing so, we change our brains. It is not easy, it is hard work, but it can be done through our thoughts and choices. That's why today I want to talk about actually choices and words, because they could be interchangeable in everything we talk about tonight. God has given us marvelous brains. They're very powerful and effective, even more so than any medication, any threat, any sickness, or any neurological challenge. God gave us a free will, and because of that, it enables us to make choices and focus our attention the way we choose. Scientists are proving that the relationship between what we think and how we understand ourselves, our beliefs, dreams, hopes, and thoughts, has a huge impact on how our brain works. And then it goes on to say, as I said before, that 75, actually she says to 98% of our thoughts control what happens to us. Brain activity takes place 7 to 10 seconds before a decision is verbalized or enacted. So what we say or what we do is actually already based on the information that's within us. That's the data pool that we pick from. And we're driven by forces beyond our, we are not driven by forces beyond our conscious control, which sometimes people think, oh, well, this made me do it or that made me do it. So we are accountable for every thought and decision we make. It says research has found that believing in free will actually guides people to be more moral and perform better. Because think about it, we're not feeling like we're lined up and everything is decided and there's nothing we can do about it. But because we have free will, and sometimes people wonder, well, how come God knows everything that's going to happen to us and already makes decisions based on what he knows we're going to do, so how is that free will? And the thought that had always crossed my mind is that if we're actually in harmony with God and trying to do what he wants, he places within us the desires to do his will because he knows that's what's absolutely best for us. But as we well know, we can say no. We don't have to follow through. It says, God has given us the equipment to bring all thoughts into captivity, to renew our minds, cast out cares, and be anxious for nothing. That's really what he wants for us, and that's what his word says in many different ways. Wrong choices cause brain damage, and right choices, of course, enhance brain function. And we could say the same thing with words. You want to change your life, you need to change your words. Because when we're making negative choices, it's usually because we have negative thinking. And a lot of times what we think, we think before we act. So if we're thinking in a negative way, we're going to act in a negative way. One of the things I found interesting is that actually we can only think one thought at a time. I think we think you can multitask, but in reality, we try hard. I know we as women do. But really, we can only think one thought at a time. And your thinking creates signals that change the landscape of the brain. And our genetic makeup actually fluctuates by minute on what we're thinking. And that's why the word says to us to think on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable. Because any of those things are going to bring us to a place of peace. We know that the word disease actually comes from dis and ease. That it's when there's a conflict between our spirit and our mind. Our spirit knows truth, and it will try and tell us the truth. But sometimes we don't want to hear it. We've already made up our mind as to what we want to believe. And so then the conflict arises, and it takes place within the body. And there's actually an author that I use to kind of like an encyclopedia a little bit about emotion, but that she, in the book, there's a correlation between a sickness and probably an emotion or feeling that hasn't been dealt with. And so when people come, sometimes I will look that up and I will ask the question, is this something that's true for you? And I would say a large percentage of the time that they say yes. In fact, I gave a copy to a colleague who manages about 100 people. And what he does is he has it in his desk, and so when people come into his office and start complaining about something, he'll open the desk drawer and kind of turn to the index and ask them, are you dealing with something like this? Is this how you feel? And they'll go, well, how do you know that? And they think he's so smart. And he is. smart enough to use that, and smart enough to apply it to the situation. But there is a tie, as I said, because our spirit knows truth. And we can try to go around that, but it doesn't work. Many scientists would have us believe this is a gene for everything. But that's actually not as true as they think it is. Because they think that genes produce problems, but we produce them through our choices. They may determine our physical characteristics, but not our psychological ones. See, we feel like one of the things that we tend to do, which is not good, is we say, well, my grandmother had this disease, my mother had this disease, therefore I'm probably going to have this disease. So what have they done? They have confessed it, accepted it into their thinking, and are expecting it to happen. That does not need to be so. It does create a predisposition, but it does not create the need to have it actually happen. One of the interesting things that the scientists have found with working with people with HIV, that those who had a relationship with God actually fared much better. They had for instance, they measured things by, I guess, certain cell levels, that those who had a relationship with God had 3 times greater T cell helpers and survived much better. And I think actually they've shown that to be true with a lot of people who deal with sickness. The interesting thing is that the power of positive words when we're sick actually can help us get better faster. If you start to confess, I'm feeling better, you almost always will. Your body responds to the words that you say. And this, you know, we're not aware of. There's an experiment that I do with people when I tell them to put their arm out and I try to push down on it and I tell them to tell me, I can, I can, I can. And the arm stays up. And then I do the exact same thing and tell them to say, I can't, I can't, I can't. And within a matter of seconds, the arm goes down. So that's how quickly your body's responding to what you're saying. So our choices with words and actions are very significant. Our choices become our physiology. What we believe and what we believe about ourselves impact us on a physical level. We are not victims of our biology. We control our biology. Our thoughts and imagination can change the structure and function of our brains on every level. Molecularly, genetic, cellular, structural, electromagnetically, and subatomically. Our choice can change the circuits even in our brain. The word says in Proverbs 23, as a man thinks, so is he. When the brain changes as a result of mental activity, spiritually it is renewing the mind. So that's how we can renew our minds, by the choices we make and allowing our brains to change. Our choices bring life or death, blessing or cursing, and they influence many people. Because we have a great impact on people when we speak to them. If we're speaking life, then we can encourage them and they can begin to have hope. And so they can change their outlook and perhaps heal even faster. I know that a lot of people, myself included, when I go to the doctor, one of the things that you dread is, what is he going to say? You know, is he going to speak death over you? Or is he going to speak life? And I know I've had situations where when I've gone to doctors, they say, oh, you absolutely need this. There's no way around it. You have to do this. And I'll go home and pray and I'll hear, don't do that. And so in several instances, I have followed that. And when I have gone back to the doctor a year later, he said to me, "What are you doing here? I told you to get a hysterectomy and chemotherapy." And I said, "Well, you know me. I went to the top, and he said no." And so he said to me, "Well, I guess we'll see." And I had said to the Lord, if what I was hearing was right, that the next test that I had would come back absolutely clean. And so we did the test, and he personally called me up and said, "I don't know what you did, but whatever you did, you better keep doing. Your test is fine." But so many times, if we don't have that kind of relationship with God, where we can go and say, "What is the truth, Lord? What, you know the truth. What is it? Do I need to do this or not?" And so they take the doctor's word as absolute. And unfortunately, sometimes to their detriment. I believe in medicine. I believe doctors are given to us as gifts, but they're not God. They can give us the best information they can, and I think they can even have a great heart and want to do what's right, but it doesn't necessarily mean for you that it's right. And so you need to pray about that kind of situations. It's interesting, food and thinking can change generational patterns. Now that may sound funny, but if any of you listen to Dr. Don Colbert, he's a famous physician, and he has written a book, Food as Your Medicine. And with varying kinds of food, he's been able to reverse diabetes. He has several sicknesses that he has used and shown how food can reverse them. So what we choose to eat is significant. When we say that it's 95% thinking that affects us, but there is the aspect of whether we treat our bodies right, whether we get the rest that we need, whether we're at peace in our life, or we allow the level of stress to get so high that it affects us physically. One of the interesting things is that some studies have shown that identical twins do not necessarily have the same issues, which would then defy those who believe that genetics determine everything. Thinking and choosing becomes the signal that activates or deactivates generational issues. It's a little bit, I think, more complicated than that, in that we in the ministry have done a great deal of work with people with generational issues that have come down. And we know that God in His mercy has begun to allow us to see how they impact people and how to help to set people free from them. So we do have the choice of that. One of the things, too, that we often have to deal with is the difference between perception and reality. We tend to think, well, reality is reality. But if someone does not see it that way, their reality is how they are perceiving it. And I got this drilled home to me very much so, to the point where I went, okay, I get it. At work, something had gone wrong, and my boss called me into the office and said, "Trudy," and I said, "Yes." And he said, and he reviewed a certain situation, and I said, "But this is the reality." He goes, "No, it's what the person perceives, because that's their reality. And you need to be aware of how people are perceiving things. It doesn't change what the truth is, But when you're dealing with people, you need to recognize where they're coming from, what is their thinking pattern, so that you can begin to work with them to perhaps shift that to a point that's more beneficial to them, where they can see it in a positive way and have hope. The sins of our parents, as I said before, create a predisposition, but not our destiny. We can make different choices. It says, what your mind creates, only your mind can take away. And I would add, with God's help. Because God can change our thinking, He can change our heart. But we need to go to Him and ask Him to do that. Because I think, like in any given situation where something happens and we get upset and our mind just goes, at least mine, over and over and over, you know, I think it over time and time again and keep analyzing it. But that doesn't mean that the other person that was involved didn't have a different perspective. And so I think many times when we're trying to resolve things with people, we need to first find out what their perception is and what they are thinking. A lot of times, disagreements are because we don't bother to find out what is the other person actually mean, or what are they thinking that perhaps isn't true. And when you can address that with them, you can say, is this what you mean? And many times you might find out, no, it wasn't. It came out a certain way, which you heard a certain way, but isn't actually what they meant. In a loving and nurturing environment, chemicals affect the brain to create more calm and peace in us. But the opposite kind of environment will do the exact opposite. So we create even the environment that we live in. If we choose to allow our lives to become chaotic, then that chaos is going to create a certain level of stress within us. I've met some people that I was like, how could they live like this? It went from one crisis to another crisis to another crisis. And this was a person of God who heard God loudly and clearly. But the enemy had managed to get in there and use her weakness for her children to disrupt her life constantly. If it wasn't one child in one situation, it was another child and another situation. And so we need to stop and take a look at what is happening and do we need to participate in it? Because sometimes we don't. We allow ourselves to get sucked into a lot of situations we have no business doing. I realized for a long time, because I'm constantly dealing with people who have problems and issues, and one of the things I recognized after a while was I was kept making myself part of the solution, and then wondered why I was always tired and worn out. And then I finally, the Lord began to show me, stop doing that. Pray about it, ask me what I want you to do about it, and then do that about it. I think a lot of times we see people in trouble and we want to rush in and help them. And then finally the Lord managed to show me that I was interfering with the work He wanted to do, because I was rescuing them. They weren't suffering the consequences of their choices. And so many times we're tempted to do that, especially with our children. Whereas, you know, we may cry out to God and we may expect Him to come charging in, but He goes, I want her to learn a lesson. If I charge in and fix this right now, she is not going to learn her lesson, and she's just going to keep going through this over and over. So that God in His mercy will not always rescue us, nor should we necessarily rescue other people. We I find that, you know, people, when they know you, for instance, I have a soft heart for women who are struggling. And I used to be part of this one group. This other pastor and myself had a woman's group. And she finally came to me and said, "Trudy, you need to get a little more street smart. The ladies are setting you up." And I said, "What?" And she said, "They know that all they have to do is mention, oh, if I only had this money, then I could do this and my life would be better. If only I had this." And I was falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. And so finally, that's when I had to go to God and say, "What do you want me to do? Do you want me to give this money? Or do you want me to take this person in or to help this person?" We need to be aware of our choices. One of my prayers is that I ask God to bring into my life the people that are meant to be there and to take out of my life the people who are not. Toxic relationships can do tremendous damage. And a lot of times we are torn because we think, well, God calls us to be loving. He does, but he does not call us to be abused. And sometimes, or enable. And there's fine lines between each of those things. So we need to be aware. We need to be aware of the choices and of the words that we speak, especially to ourselves. Because we can be very negative towards ourselves. Oh, I wish I hadn't done this, or I shouldn't have done that. And as one of my friends used to say, you're shooting yourself to death. Because you're saying, I shouldn't do this, and I shouldn't do that, and I shouldn't. And so I became more conscious of that. And also of any negative things that I was saying. And my ministry partner is famous for catching me and challenging me when I say something negative. He'll go, "What did you just say?" And I'll go, okay. And so he has helped to condition me not to confess a lot of negative things. Not to confess, oh, well, I'll never get this, or I'll never have that, or this will never happen. We don't know that. We can say, I'm going to trust God for that, and if I'm meant to have it, and it's good for me, it'll happen. If it's not, I accept that. When things happen, we also need to control our reactions to them, control our actions and reactions and the words that we use. Because sometimes we have points of vulnerability, and when someone hits those, our tendency is to often overreact. And then it makes the situation worse. I've spoken before, and I'll say it again, my wonderful 72-hour rule, that when I get upset about something, I say, in 3 days, I will answer whatever that was and deal with it. And in that 72 hours, often God begins to work on the situation both ways, but often allows me to see it from a different perspective and often totally change the way I would have reacted initially. And it's kept me out of a lot of trouble. Because I think we all get protective and defensive. And so in a period of time, we can begin to analyze things. I hope this will encourage you to know that you do not need to be in a negative environment. You do not need to choose to create one or to have to live in one by what you say and what you do. That you do have choices. And if you don't know how to make them, ask for God to help you make them. Because His desire for us is to be at peace. Not to be in stress, not to be in fear, to believe we have a sound mind, that we're not going crazy. You know, which people can make us believe at times by what they say or how they address us. So, Father, I just ask that you help us make the right choices and to speak the right words so that we speak life. We speak wholeness. We thank you for your love and your mercy each and every day. Amen. Each week, the Lord has been giving me a prophetic word. So I will read the prophetic word to you. It's a little bit longer than usual. Let's see. The Lord says, "My timing is perfect, my ways are perfect, my love is perfect. My plans for you are loving and on time. Many view my timing as too slow when they are praying for an answer to the situations they are dealing with, but they are not capable of seeing all that goes into my answer. Someday you will have more understanding when you are with me in heaven. Your brains are marvelous, but unable to comprehend much of what I do and why I do it. When you come to the place of believing that I truly love you and want what is best for you, then you will be at peace. I am sending forth my angels throughout the earth in greater and greater numbers. My spirit is at work in world affairs, and much is about to change. Men think that they can change the course of history, but that is not true unless I allow it. There are testings that are coming to my people that will either draw them closer to me or away from me. You will have to choose and live with the consequences of your choices. My Holy Spirit will direct you if you stop and listen. Many things are going to seem to be opposite of what they are supposed to be. You will need to seek me so that you will be guided and directed during these times. Money as you know it is about to change, which is going to create a great turmoil. Keep your eyes focused on me and wait upon me, and I will guide you in every way that you need. Time is growing short before much is about to change. This has to be, but fear not, I will be with you. I will not leave you unprotected or unprovided for. Do not let your hearts or minds be deceived by the loudest voices, but listen for my still small voice. In the coming days, you will need to say no to many of your children's requests for their protection and safety. Do not give in to their crying and complaining. Love them enough to say no. Many false reports will be spoken on TV and radio. Do not believe everything that you see or hear. Ask me to show you the truth so you can make the right choices. Many are about to be lost in fierce fighting and natural events, but remember that I am in control." Not an easy word, but as always, he's always saying that he loves us, that he's there, that he will protect us, that he will guide us in spite of the changes that come. And I don't necessarily always understand some of the things he says and how they will happen. The word is dictated and I write it down. So, Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your guidance. I ask you to watch over your children and protect them, and watch over their children and protect them. Be with us. Thank you for your peace, Lord, in all situations. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. We pray you were blessed by today's message. Please visit us online at triunehealingministries.com. May God bless you and touch your deepest need.